having me here. I'm the president of KWG Resources, which is the one of the two junior exploration companies that are still left trying to develop the Ring of Fire. Canada's oil sands are located deep inside desolate territories inhabited mainly by Indigenous people. The oil sands are valued at better than $2 trillion, and when the price of oil collapsed recently, so did the Canadian dollar. Environmental impacts are major concerns for the development of the oil sands. Industry and governments have spent in excess of $100 billion in developing the oil sands, and they are projected to contribute to the Canadian economy for the next 170 years. Now, Canada also has the rich mineral reserves of the Ring of Fire. Similarly located deep inside desolate territories inhabited mainly by Indigenous people, they live in isolated communities on the periphery of the uninhabitable James Bay lowlands that are only accessible by winter roads. The Ring of Fire's development could be the catalyst which invites these First Nations to be part of the fabric of our society. The major mineral in the Ring of Fire is chromite. We estimate that there is as much as $600 billion of chromite buried there. Industry and government has thus far spent only about $1 billion in developing the Ring of Fire. However, I believe that development of the Ring of Fire can be the next large and major driver of the Canadian economy. I estimate that it could add 2% to our GDP, or $35 billion annually, for each of the next 100 years and probably beyond. How so? Well, about two-thirds of the world's chrome is sold to the Chinese, who produce about two-thirds of the globe's stainless steel. Only a few months ago, we paid for a contingent of 9 Chinese engineers to visit the Ring of Fire for a feasibility study to build and finance in China railroad access to the Ring of Fire. But this area of the Canadian North is a large part of a hemispheric ecosystem above the 50th parallel, which contains one-third of the planet's trees. They filter our carbon emissions. Peatlands, such as those hosting the Ring of Fire, are in fact the most efficient carbon sinks in the world. On the other hand, China and its steel industries have been acknowledged as major polluters of the atmosphere. However, they are working hard to clean up their act, and this past February, they signed a joint declaration with Canada on a clean technology cooperation agreement. Canada, mainly in the north, is a generator of substantial carbon credits, and China has an obligation to the world to balance its pollution with carbon credits. The Ring of Fire can clearly be developed in cooperation with the 24,000 Indigenous people of the northern communities of Hudson's Bay by using clean technology. Alternatively, we can do it like we always have, using old technology and old transportation methods, all of which contribute to global warming, interfering with the delicate ecosystem of what today is pristine topography. Elon Musk was born to a Regina native mother and attended Queen's University in Kingston. Before this, Canadian export moved to Silicon Valley to eventually found Tesla and now SpaceX, while continuing to try to make an ecological difference in the world. Our company has developed a clean technology for the beneficiation of chromite using natural gas, which is up to 80% more environmentally friendly than current electric arc technology. The CanMet lab of your Ministry of Natural Resources is currently testing our technology and doing excellent work with remarkable results. Commercializing this process will enable Canada to be the world's lowest-cost producer of ferrochrome. The Ring of Fire needs $3 billion in financing for development, mainly for transportation assets, for an ecologically friendly thoroughfare through the tundra to the rail connections in the south. So the stage is set. President Xi of China needs our chrome, and he needs our carbon credits. Our Prime Minister and government have obligations to preserve the environment, obligations to our Indigenous peoples, and you all are pledged to continue Canada's growth and prosperity. I ask you, therefore, to entreat Prime Minister Trudeau to present to President Xi an elegant solution which can impact Canada for the next 100 years. China will buy chrome from the Ring of Fire over a 100-year buying program. Such a commitment from China will thus finance the total development of the Ring of Fire, and we will give China chrome and carbon credits in exchange. China and Canada will win much international attention for such a trade. Now back to Elon Musk. KWG is working with Elon through one of his incubators on a possible groundbreaking solution for transport of the ore and people to and from the Ring of Fire. We call it the Ring of Fire Hyperlink Project. The government of Canada is supporting, according to the press, a hyperloop called Transpod to be built between Toronto and Montreal. Think of the old department store pneumatic vacuum tube that used to deliver invoices, and then instead imagine ore and people in those capsules. Toronto Life magazine says that in 50 years, the city will have 13 million people and a hyperloop will deliver them to Montreal in 30 minutes. I would contend, though, that we should look after our obligations to the Indigenous people first. Only 36% of them are graduating from high school. We would propose that a most elegant, efficient, cost-effective, and environmentally friendly use of Hyperloop technology is to build a hyperlink from the Ring of Fire to Nikina in northern Ontario. As an ancillary to bringing out the chromite, it would create jobs and an ecotourism that couldn't possibly exist except for this kind of game-changing infrastructure technology. Of course, this requires a trade-off study as an alternative to our China Railway current feasibility study for the building and financing of a traditional railroad. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think I've answered your questions. I've defined for you a growth strategy for 100 years that has the potential of the Alberta oil sands and will contribute at least $35 billion in GDP growth and a cumulative $3.5 trillion in long-term economic activity, in my opinion. I've defined the leverage that we have in controlling the exclusive and giant source of the only chromite in the Western Hemisphere, and China needs our resource. We believe that they are willing and anxious for Canada's cooperation to allow them to buy chrome and so finance it. We believe that Prime Minister Trudeau only has to ask for the order. And Mr. Chairman, you and I share a friendship with a stockbroker, and that's their rule number one, is you got to ask for the order. I think we're at a situation in the relationship between our countries where Prime Minister Trudeau only has to ask for the order. I've defined for you two technologies with dramatically positive environmental impacts, which will deliver to China and Canada global admiration for using clean technology to develop a new mineral supply source. I've given you a program that will benefit the Indigenous people who we've isolated in these remote territories and which are now environmentally critical to the survival of the planet. In closing, I would ask you to perhaps invite me back with to bring me back with all of the scientists, executives, and financiers who would like to participate in this kind of development of the Ring of Fire, together with the leaders of the Indigenous communities and the surrounding James Bay Lowlands. And then let's have a rendezvous and talk it all out. I can tell you most emphatically that they are all very, very willing. They just need to know you care. And we would hope that the Prime Minister would sit in on our rendezvous, and we commit to you to also invite Native son Elon Musk. Thank you.
Frank, I'm convinced that Canada needs more men like you with great ambitions to develop the country. I'd like to hear you elaborate, if you will, on your project, because your positive remarks is really music to my ears. I'd like to hear you a little bit more on your project.
It's the first time in history that chromite is the mineral, was discovered in the Western Hemisphere in quantities sufficient to be economic, mined economically. But it goes way beyond that. It is such a large deposit that we can say with even the little information we have from drilling from surface, we can say that there's a century's worth of mineral there for a large percentage of the world's consumption. You don't want it all. You don't want to be the only supplier, but you want to certainly have a share of the market. The chromite becomes ferrochrome, and ferrochrome becomes stainless steel. You can't have stainless steel without chrome. There are grades of stainless steel that also have nickel, but you can have stainless steel without nickel, but you can't have it without chrome. So stainless steel is about one part chrome and four parts iron. The world is using ever more stainless steel because those of you who have had the pleasure of driving on the Gardiner in Toronto, you can see what happens when you use things that do rust in rebar, and you know our infrastructure just falls apart. So most of the world has gone to a standard of requiring in new construction of high-rises, bridges, everything, a standard of using stainless steel and reinforcing bar. So it is a metal that's going to be with us for the foreseeable future. Traditionally, chromite was a byproduct of mining of platinum and palladium in South Africa. So they have huge reserves, but it's different from what we have. And they are challenged in that over the last many decades, almost a century, they have invested in a substantial capital plant to refine their chromite into ferrochrome using electricity, and they don't have that electricity to use anymore. They're very challenged, so it's an opportunity for Canada to use another method, which that particular part of our industry knew about 50 years ago, which is what's called direct reduction. So it doesn't become gas or liquid. It stays solid in a solid state, and the natural gas is the source of heat. And direct reduction of chromite into ferrochrome is a much, much more efficient and environmentally friendly process. So we have a chance here to create a added value product of ferrochrome. We don't consume it here, but we can export that to where it is consumed, and that's tremendous good business for Canada. We would be exporting our blessings, a small part of our huge blessings of natural gas, and on an annual basis, a small part of our huge blessings of chromite. In mining, as my colleagues can tell you, you don't you know, you can count on the fingers of one hand the mineral occurrences in recorded history that could produce economically for beyond a few decades, let alone a century and perhaps a second century. So that's the Ring of Fire. It's phenomenal. I know from my time spent in China that they're very enthusiastic about developing Canada as a source of supply, as an alternative to where the supplies presently come from, and they typically buy concentrate or pellets from other places, partly refined material, and then they bring it into China and they use expensive coal, expensive electricity, expensive coal-generated electricity, dirty processes to turn it into ferrochrome in China. So they're very attracted to the opportunity to participate with us in developing this much better, much cleaner alternative. And I was, I was astonished and very pleased when I saw that at COP21, the leaders of our two countries signed this declaration on using clean technology, because that just fit hand in glove for the Ring of Fire opportunity. I apologize. I can go on for hours, as you can see, but that's it in a nutshell.